Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 9, verse 25. I want to read to you one verse, but this is a pretty lengthy chapter. There was a lot of things that was taking place, a lot of different events in this whole chapter 9, a lot of even some controversy. And so I want to kind of focus on the one person that it is dealing with, and that is the one person that could now see, but also wanted to focus on Jesus Christ and the fact that if it wasn't for Jesus, he wouldn't be able to see. So let's read one verse of Scripture this morning, and I trust the Lord would help us and speak to us this morning. Verse 25 of John chapter 9, it says, "He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for all your blessings. Lord, you've blessed us in so many ways. Lord, we do lift up the request of prayer, the ones who have recently are dealing with their loved ones passing, the ones who are dealing with sicknesses, future surgeries. Lord, just a lot of things that's taking place. But Lord, our desire this morning is that we just simply focus on you this morning. Help us, we pray. Speak to hearts. We pray for those that are listening online and that do so faithfully. Lord, we just, we're looking to you this morning for our help. And Lord, we'll give you the praise for all things that's accomplished. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to echo some of our pastor's thoughts this morning and refer to September 11th, 2001. Terrorists hijacked four planes targeting the U.S. Two planes were flown into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center. A third plane hit the Pentagon. The fourth plane crashed in a field in Pennsylvania after a few passengers tried to overtake the plane. And there are speculations as to where they were targeting, but because of these willing passengers, that wasn't accomplished. Almost 3,000 people were killed during this 9/11 attack, and countless people were affected emotionally, physically, and just simply their lives were destroyed. And I don't think that you could really put a value on really what took place. It seemed like the world went into slow motion. The airways became deathly silent. People were watching and listening as everything began to unfold, looking for some kind of answers. And we know 21 years later that America had been attacked. But it seemed like for a short period of time that people were coming together as if the eyes had been opened. Signs went up on storefronts and billboards that said, "Pray for America." Roughly 150 members of Congress came together in the evening at the East Front steps, and both parties came together as a symbol of strength. The words rang out by the members of Congress, and they sang, "God Bless America." I remember the words, "We will never forget." President Bush addressed our nation. His speech on that evening was somewhere around a little over four minutes, asking people to pray for those who were suffering, and even quoted Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Were our eyes really opened? Did things really begin to change? Now, 21 years later, where are we now? Now under different leadership, now seeking a different direction. Where are the billboards? Where are the prayers for our nation and our country? Where is the singing by the leadership, "God Bless America"? And it seems as though the eyes are no longer open. It seems as though the eyes are almost closed again. Verse 25 tells us, "He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know one thing. This is one thing I know, that where I was blind, now I see." This gives testimony of what Jesus can do and how one man's eyes truly became open. "One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." I'll begin this morning by saying this. It wasn't terror that made the difference, but it was Jesus that made the difference. It was Jesus that made a difference in this one man's eyes. His eyes were open to Jesus. You know, I think about them singing "God Bless America," and I think about the words that many end their speeches with, "God Bless America." But you see, we need more than someone to say it. We need someone to live it. Amen. Someone to live it, because anyone can say it. Anyone can say "God Bless America" and end a speech that someone else might have written or got direction from. But you see, our eyes must be open to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to take this passage of Scripture this morning, here in John chapter 9. And I just want to give you just a few thoughts this morning. And first and foremost, Jesus is the light of the world. It is Jesus that we must see. It is Jesus that made the difference. In verse 5 of John chapter 9, the Bible says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." There was nothing that this man could do to change his situation. Someone didn't have to tell him that he was born blind. There was nothing that he could do within himself. There was nothing that he could do in himself to change anything. No one needed to tell him that he was blind. He knew he was blind. No light in this world could produce any help for him. And I'm amazed. I've told you this before. I'm amazed at lights. I've got this thing about flashlights. And I always look, when I see flashlights, and I always look to see how bright they are. And it's amazing to me. If I would have had these kind of lights back in the day when I used to coon hunt, no coon would have had a chance. Because there's lights now that will light up a tree. It's just amazing how bright they can get them. But the brightest light that man can produce could not help this man's blindness. There was nothing. There's nothing that man could produce to help this man's blindness. His eyes had to be opened by Jesus. And you've experienced it, and I've experienced it, and we've tried to talk to individuals, and they would reject the Lord Jesus, and they would say no, and you would try to encourage them, and you would try to talk to them, and they would still go the opposite direction and they wouldn't follow. Let me encourage you that we can't open up a person's eyes. But what we can do is we can pray that Jesus will open a person's eyes. We can pray that God would get a hold of their heart and that God would make a difference in their life and that God would change them through Jesus Christ, because we can't change anything. But we know that Jesus is the light of the world that we shared with you in verse 5. But we also notice that it took the touch of Jesus. In verse 6 of chapter 9, the Bible says, "When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay." Now, he simply just spit on the ground, and he simply just took it and made a type of a paste, and he put it on this man's eyes. He simply rubbed it in his eyes. And so I wondered, and I always, you know, Jesus could have spoke and his eyes would have been open. We know that there were crippled that have never walked before, that talks about it in the Bible, and they immediately jumped up and started running. So the paste that was made out of this clay, there's a purpose for that. And I want us to just kind of, I want to give you an idea of why this clay was made. So he took this clay and he rubbed it on this man's eyes. We want to call that the knowledge of Jesus. The knowledge of Jesus. Because there are countless people who have a knowledge of Jesus. Jesus' name is mentioned in so many places. There are a lot of denominations and there are a lot of religions out there that know that Jesus was born. And they have that knowledge of Jesus. They know that he was born. They know that the Bible talks about him. But just a knowledge isn't what's going to make a difference. I've been visiting before, and I know our pastor would agree with this. It seems like everyone that you would go see, you would ask them, have you been saved or do you know Christ? And the first thing they say is, absolutely. It's amazing to me how many people make the profession that they're saved. And I wonder how much of that is the simple knowledge of Jesus, but they don't know him personally. Because just having the knowledge wasn't going to make the difference. That's why I say we need someone more than someone that just says, "God bless America." We need leadership that is under the direction of God. And you will see things change. But until people get under the direction of God, we're going to continue to go to a downhill spiral. And that's why I say, was this an artificial enlightening that happened 21 years ago? I believe that God used that in a lot of ways. It was terrible. It was tragic. It was sad. People suffered. But I also believe that people were saved through this. If I'm not mistaken, we helped a missionary that was in New York, a pastor that our pastor knew about and would take, and he would go to Ground Zero and give water. And so there was a lot of good that came out of this. Such a tragedy. But it took more than just having that knowledge of Jesus, but Jesus tells him to do something in verse 7. And I think this is the key to him being able to, a difference to be made in his life. And Jesus says, he said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is being interpreted "sent." And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. You see, there had to be an obedience. There had to be more than just a knowledge of Jesus. There had to be an obedience. He did what he was told to do. And he came back seeing. What does the Bible say? Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the name of Jesus and thou shalt be saved. See, it requires more than just having a knowledge of Jesus, but it requires an action. Now, it doesn't require a work because Jesus Christ already has accomplished all that needs to be accomplished. All we have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to the time in your life. Go back to the time in your life, you that are saved this morning. Go back to that moment in time wherever you were, and go back to that moment and remember when you prayed and you might have said the words, Lord, come into my heart and save me. And we requested His presence and sought forgiveness, realizing that we were on the way to hell, realizing that that if we took our last breath, I tell you what, when I fully realized that if I took my last breath, when I fully realized that, it scared me to death. It scared me to death. You know, and I think that the way our world is, and the way things are, that we have grown accustomed to death. In other words, you look at all the television shows and you look at all the things that are taking place and all the mystery shows and the police shows and all those things, and someone in that episode, if not more than one, than others, are going to die in the storylines. And it's almost like we don't take death serious. But death is real. Death is a part of life. And therefore we must have a way, and that way is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 11 of this chapter says this. When he was being questioned, and there was controversy, you know, and that's amazing to me. There was a man's life that was changed, and if you took time to read the remainder part of this chapter, there was those that were troubled because this man could now see. That amazes me. Their hearts were not in the right place. Their hearts were not where they needed to be, and they needed Jesus Christ themselves. So they began to question this man. They began to question his parents. They began to question, you know, who is this man that now can see? And he says in verse 11, he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash it. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. What a testimony. What a testimony. And I can say the same thing this morning. When I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, I don't know how he did it. All I know is he did it and saved my soul. And I knew there was a difference in my life. You know, trying to explain everything, sometimes we just need to say, praise the Lord, and I'm going to accept it. And he knew that it was Jesus that made a difference. It was Jesus that touched his eyes. It was Jesus that opened his eyes. And no one could care for him like Jesus. There's a song that says the words, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Well, that man experienced that. And you this morning that know Christ, you have experienced that fact that no one cares for you like Jesus. But the only way he knew was following the word, and Jesus' word was go and wash in the pool. Jesus spoke the word that made the difference. You see, the world is going to cast you out. I don't care what the world tries to paint you a picture of success, and if you do this and if you do that, and everything's going to be good. And the world has this this idea that that if you're, you know, if you do a certain thing or if you do something, then you're going to be the greatest there is. Let me tell you what they did to this man that now received his sight when he had that experience with Jesus. Verse 34 says, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins And dost thou teach us? And they said, cast him out. They didn't want to have anything to do with this man that received his sight. And why would we expect as believers, why would we expect anything different? There's going to be people that don't understand why we come to church. There's going to be people that don't understand why we pray. There's going to be individuals that don't understand why this is important to us and why we're here worshiping the Lord. And they're not going to understand, but that's okay. Because what's most important is that we have a future with Jesus Christ. That's what's most important, is that we have a future. And I say this, the only future he knew was Jesus. Verse 35 and 36, the Bible says, he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. You see, he saw Jesus. He talked to Jesus. And that is far better than the world could ever offer. That is far better than the world could ever offer. And he says the words, Lord, I believe. He was blind, but now he sees. You know, when I was raised, my sisters used to sing, as I made a reference, and my sisters used to sing, and they would sing on my dad's radio broadcast, and I have about four or five tapes on both sides of my dad preaching, and every once in a while, I'll listen to it for a number of reasons. I listen to it just to be able to hear my dad. And my sisters would go and he would sing, and it was on a Sunday was when the broadcast was. And it was on the AM airways back in the early 70s. And I listened to him now, and I listened to the preaching, and I was listening to how excited my dad got, when he was preaching and when he was talking about what Jesus Christ could do. What he would be willing to do in your life. And of course that was, I think one of the tapes said 1970 or 1971. Well, fast forward it to 1985. And everything that my dad proclaimed, he got to experience because of Jesus. He lost his job several times, got laid off. He raised six kids. We moved around a lot trying to find work, and times were hard. Okay. And I'll be the first to admit that, you know, my parents didn't share with me all the struggles that my parents had raising us, and they kept it to themselves, and they didn't expose some of the things to the kids. But I now look back and I look at, wow, they must have had a really, really hard time. And I look back at that, and although this life there's struggles, and although there's trying times, and you yourself, I'm sure, have experienced some of those, now he's experiencing heaven along with many others that my dad knew, and many that I knew that's gone on to heaven. And so there were struggles, but there is hope in the end. And so the things that we are bothered with and stressed over, just understand that, look, if you know Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to be all right. And we're going to have a home in heaven. But it takes more than just a knowledge of Jesus. There has to be an experience. And this blind man, his testimony was, look, all I know is I was blind and now I see, and it's because of Jesus. And I'm paraphrasing what he said, but that's ultimately what he said. It was because of Jesus. He was blind, now he sees. His eyes were open to Jesus. That was the title of our message. His eyes were open to Jesus. Nobody had to tell him he was blind. Nobody had to tell him there was hardships and difficulties. Nobody had to tell him all those things. All he knew is, Jesus said, he made that clay, put it on his eyes and said, go to this pool and go wash. And he did exactly. Isn't it wonderful that it doesn't require a whole lot of effort on our part to be saved? It just requires believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Amen. That's all it requires. He couldn't make it any easier for us because he knows how hard-headed we are. All we have to do is come to Jesus Christ. So I asked the question this morning in closing. Has the world caused us blindness? Has the cares of this life and all these things, has it caused us to have some blurred vision? About 2 years ago, I guess it was, almost 2 years ago, I went to work on a Monday and my left eye got all blurry. It was almost like it was just an overdose of chlorine. And they thought that I was having a stroke, and so they took me in the hospital, and I spent the night, and they run all these kind of tests, and they did all these things, and it was like my left eye just couldn't see very good out of it. It was just extremely blurry, and so I was trying to make out things, and I was trying to read things, and I was just struggling. But you know, sometimes in a Christian's life, when they allow things to get in their way, our vision gets a little blurry. It's almost like having too much chlorine. We see, but yet we don't really see. And sometimes this world will do that to you when you take your eyes off of Jesus Christ. It will cause our vision to just simply get blurry. So I ask the question, has the world and the cares of this world caused us to get our vision a little blurry? Has problems, has people, you know, people will cause blurriness too. We simply this morning need to take our eyes off of everything else, and we simply need to put our eyes on Jesus. That gentleman who received his sight, he just says, one thing I know, that we're as I was blind, now I see. The world's going to cast you out, and that's okay. But Jesus made a difference in this man's life. And Jesus can make a difference in your life. But I end with this verse, and he said, Lord, I believe, this is verse 38, I believe, and he worshiped him. Jesus is worthy of all of our praise. And may we worship him, because I was blind and now I see. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the realization that we have in Christ, that it's more than a knowledge, but it's a no, because we were obedient and we called upon Jesus. Father, if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, will you speak to that heart? And cause them to realize that all they have to do is be obedient and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, whether they're listening or whether they're here. Lord, it's not hard, and you didn't make it hard for us. You just simply said, believe. But Father, I also know that there's many that maybe their vision has gotten a little blurry, and we just need to come and rededicate ourselves to you. We just need to come and say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm sorry for letting things get in the way and cause my vision to be blurry, but I love you. Help it not to be an experience that didn't change us, but help it to be an experience that did change us. And We know that Satan has a way of trying to put things and cause us to stumble and cause us to just simply take our eyes off of you. But we're here this morning, and we want to see Jesus. Father, bless this invitation, whatever the need may be. Help us to be willing to come and just simply commit ourselves to you. And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.